This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark Roshan-Kinnison, and we have a Wang Xiaoning beaming into us from a mysterious, undisclosed location somewhere in the Klang Valley. Thanks for joining us this morning, Xiaoning. But of course, this is The Morning Brief, and in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, on reforms in UMNO and the Batusapi elections. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
It was a bit of a mixed day yesterday. The closing in Asia, Japan was down 1.1%, but Hong Kong, China, and Singapore were up. Shanghai was up 0.2%, Hong Kong was up 0.5%, and Singapore was up 0.4%. The FBM KLCI, though, took a note from Japan, closing down 0.3% yesterday. And if we're taking a look at the US markets, which closed a few hours ago, the Dow and S&P were both down 1.1%, and the NASDAQ just behind that, down 0.8%.
So this morning, for some insight into global markets, we have with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thanks so much for joining us. Now, US equities appear to have retreated from their recent highs. Are we seeing the return of risk aversion in investor behavior? I mean, what market implications are there when Powell says that recovery has a long way to go?
I think I'll start with Powell. I think that was a timely reminder from him that markets must consider that there's going to be a huge lag between any positive news, whether it has got to do with supply side recovery or in particular with vaccines. There's going to be huge and variable lags between establishing feasibility of the vaccine and getting it on the ground. And so I think markets are perhaps reconsidering what could come about. And also I think heading into the transition of the political scene in the US in January, there could be reason to check some of these gains and take some profits.
Now, Vishnu, when we come back closer to Asia, being part of the RCEP is expected to add 0.2% to the economy of member states. Do you agree with this figure, or do you think the distribution of gains will be uneven among the member countries?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Roshan. It's certainly going to be uneven. And I think really with any huge trade pact like that, what they're counting on is the aggregate benefits of it. And this is the really important part, for it to bleed through and lift all of the economies over a longer period of time. So these gains that we are talking about, I think they would be hard to realize in the short run, not just because of current economic challenges, but also the fact that you need to get all the countries to converge. And it's not just about legal ratification, but it's really getting things into practice. And that will take some time, given all the unevenness of production capabilities across the region and technology, so on and so forth.
Vishnu, with the information we have right now, is there any country that looks to be a more prominent gainer than the other member states?
I think, especially if we look at this in the context of an ongoing and rather active relocation and rewiring of supply chains across the ASEAN. We do see some gains to be realized within countries like Vietnam, which are already gaining. And I also think that, this is could also feedback quite well into segments of Malaysia, Thailand, so on and so forth. But to credit all of this to the RCEP may also be misleading, because we already have existing FTAs that do work. So it would take a lot more, evidence and the interactions between these countries to see what exactly happens.
And Vishnu, India was notably absent from the RCEP lineup. Why did they abstain from joining? I mean, and how significantly will this affect trade links with those Asia-Pacific nations within the pact?
I think without going into whether it was a misguided notion or not, India had two big misgivings. I think one was on the rural farm sector. And they are very, very sensitive about livelihoods there. So access to those markets, I think, was a little bit of a bugbear. The second point is India wants to pursue its own Make in India policy. And they know they're at a great disadvantage, in particular to China. And so there's also some concerns about China flooding India's markets if both markets were equally open, yet leading to asymmetric outcomes. So I think that was one of India's sticking points. The silver lining here is India can get back into the deal at some point. But I think this is going to be a bumpy path for India to, gain accession into or to want accession into the RCEP.
Now, moving away from RCEP for a little bit, Vishnu, Indonesia's central bank has kept rates on hold since July. Do you think they can cut? Do you think they cut them at today's meeting? And is the strength of the rupiah going to play a part in that decision process?
I think you answered the question for me, Roshan. And I think, this call will not be complete if I'm not being a proper economist. So I'm going to sit on the fence and say, look, this is a very close call. And so with the fence sitting in place, it's a very close call. But I think that the fact that we seem to be establishing a weak dollar trend here, that would certainly give way to Bank Indonesia exercising its desire to put through further easing. So we think there's a 60% probability they're going to cut today. And I think that was the window of opportunity that Bank Indonesia is using, especially given that inflation is in the right place now. Growth needs further stimulus. And to them, rupiah stability, I think, is the biggest moving part and the biggest concern of not doing it.
Actually, on that note of the dollar weakening, Vishnu, do you expect that to continue for the next few months or so, or will we see it stabilize? Because it has dipped quite a bit in the last few weeks.
You're absolutely right. I think the trouble with trying to size up the dollar is there are a few things moving it. I think the recent losses have been on the back of the dollar smile aspect of it, where pulling back from the worst case of unclear US election outcomes, as well as the confluence, that conspiring with positive news on the vaccine, those have led to extreme adverse backdrop being taken away. So that has led to dollar weakening against this environment. But I think we want to be very watchful of real yields in the US, because if there's a point of time where, real yields start picking up, that's to say US Treasury yields pick up, but inflation expectations don't get out of hand, that could lead to some pullback here. And we also want to see the exact policies that Biden wants to put forward. And those could have major implications on the dollar. One thing worth noting, I think, here is with the vaccine, I think, gaining traction on the ground sometime next year, one thing to consider is China loses its relative advantages because China has been very, very well ahead of the rest in its ability to contain the virus. So those loss of advantage, if it translates into a less appreciation in the renminbi, that could also give a bit of a leg up for the dollar.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Bharathan, Head of Economics and Strategy over at Mizuho Bank, giving us his take on the dollar story that we're seeing right now, as well as he puts it at a 60% probability that Bank Indonesia will cut its rates later on when they meet today. But right now, we're also taking a look very quickly at some results coming out of the US, because Target has reported its fiscal third quarter earnings yesterday, and it outpaced analyst estimates. They're a discount retailer, and they won market share by turning shoppers' pandemic habits into what appeared to be lasting gains. So earnings per share came in at $2.79 versus the $1.60 expected by consensus of analysts surveyed by Refinitiv, while total revenue grew 21% to $22.6 billion. Shanning, what were your takes on this?
I think the Target results are quite interesting because it probably indicates there's a little bit of recovery in the US consumer sector. And I think the sales were especially strong on online, which is not surprising because most of us were somewhat locked at home, stuck at home. Whether this trend continues is going to be interesting because, as we know, there still is no US fiscal, there's no stimulus plan at the moment. I think the Senate is still at loggerheads, so we'll have to watch this space very carefully.
Yeah, and Target's important to note because of its bellwether status, right, as for US consumption, or at least basic US consumption. And this is its retailers like this, including Walmart, that will be interesting signals of how the economy there is doing on the ground.
Absolutely. And we're going to be watching that very closely. But right now, as we head into some messages, don't go away, because up next, we'll be speaking with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, on the latest in Malaysian politics. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.